Welcome to the Make Better Photos and Videos podcast. I am Ross.
And I am Gordon.
Welcome back, Gordon. I understand your adventure was excellent and that you're happy with, and I hope that you're happy with all the images that you brought back. Looking at some of them that you've posted, as and to my chagrin, as well as a recent less than successful theory test of my own, has raised a question for me.
Yes, I enjoyed the trip very much. But I also realized when photographing things that are naturally beautiful, that making images that tell more than just accurately representing their beauty is a challenge.
I concur completely. In the example of flowers, they're naturally beautiful. And as a consequence, I struggle with flower photography because I've never been able to say that my photographs are doing anything more for the story of the flower and what's happening. You know, sometimes the presence of a pollinating insect is a nice addition if you've prepped and wait for one. But even then, I don't come away with a sense of anything more than, look, a pretty flower.
Yeah, but for many people, that is more than enough. So, to steal a line from one of our favorite silly films, so what's your boggle?
My boggle is that photographs of beautiful things, such as flowers, are boring me. I get incredibly tack-sharp images, capable of making enormous prints, with fabulous color, the right depth of field, and wide dynamic range. Yet nothing is bringing me to the next step, which is to print. And if what I've imaged doesn't demand a print, then that goes into the failure column for me.
Okay. But surely that most people, even many serious photographers, never print anything. So I would venture to say that your issue is rather niche. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's my niche. And it's my work, and so it matters very much to me.
So in the course of your usual analytical approach, what is missing that, if present, would make you a happier person? Maybe you shouldn't answer that.
It's hard to say, but I think it might be time. When I look at a field of flowers or an individual flower, the static view is pleasant, but it's not invigorating. I noticed last week in the few days when the blooms were strong on my Japanese cherry tree that I've been there, done that on making images. But while they were good images, technically, they were missing something. So I actually found that I was getting more out of watching the blooms move in the breeze, forming interesting patterns of movement as they were interacting with their environment of the moment. I got in quite close, and I also stepped further back. And in most cases, it was the motion, or specifically the blur of the motion, that made the view actually interesting and worth looking at.
So, you know, hearing you say this, I have to ask, did you do a video instead of stills?
I did. And as much as I love using video to tell a story over time, it didn't do anything for me. Superb exposure, great sharpness, terrific color, blossoms in a breeze, very pretty. For about 12 seconds. And then I was bored again.
Do you have any kind of a resolution of this challenge?
I might, but I need to put some more time into it. While I was out there, I got some detritus in my eyes which blurred my vision for a bit. While that was both annoying and irritating, it did force me to see a bit differently. Instead of sharp blossoms, I saw only patterns of color. And as I squinted, because of the junk in my eyes, more and more I could start to see in my mind's eye the path of the patterns moving over time.
That sounds more abstract than realistic.
Well, that's a very fair statement. So what I wanted to then try was to use a long exposure of the blooms moving in the air, whether moving in close to a small handful of blooms or from a distance, where I still filled the frame with only a section of the tree, but the individual blooms, you know, didn't stand out spectacularly from each other. I was more happy with the tree section because while there was less movement in the frame, the motion of a larger clump of blossoms on a branch was much more pleasing to me than a single blossom in pretty much every case. I chose an extremely shallow depth of field because the background's irrelevant, a very low ISO, and that helped me drive as long a shutter speed as I could manage in the scenario. I focused midway into the scene and then made some experimental images. In hindsight, I probably could have used a neutral density filter to drag the exposure out even more because I didn't want a lot of depth of field.
Okay. And how did that work out?
There were a lot of discards, easily over 90%. I've, of course, had no control over the wind velocity or direction, and the randomness of the experiment reduced the keepers dramatically. I also tried high frame rate video and slowed it down in playback. This didn't work for me at all, so I will need to apply myself more.
And what were you looking for? Have you figured that out?
Well, at the risk of sounding foolish, the passage of time and movement, but in a still image, almost like an impressionist might paint things, but done in camera, not done with some plug-in or filter. I know I can do those things, but it's fake for me. It can look pretty enough, but I know it's fake.
So I'm thinking that wouldn't really matter to a whole lot of people.
Probably not, but it's my work and it matters to me. Why I understand what computational photography and plugins and presets can do, I choose not to partake. That works for me. It doesn't necessarily work for everyone else.
So if I were to summarize what all we've talked about just now, it would be to find a beautiful subject and to go make images not primarily oriented to maximum sharpness or depth of field, but instead to capture the world motion blur. So your story is less of the subject than the subject in its real environment.
Yes, I think that's a reasonable synopsis of the challenge I've put to myself.
Well, I feel like I've just walked through the seven stages of man in its photographic form. And I can't help thinking this is a stage that we all get to and through. The image is just not enough, and then the story closely follows that. Then that, in its turn, gets followed by the emotion. I'd love to see where you're going with this. I'm looking through my images from my trip, but I have to admit, I'm frustrated. If I can't tell the story of the image, then it's just that. It's a house, a bridge, a flower, whatever. And likewise, some recent posts on the forum sort of kicked me in the kneecap there, because it wasn't so much the images, I mean, they were spectacular images, but the presentation of those images just rocked. And members of the club who have moved on in their own way have gone looking for the same things. They've moved from standard images to more experimental stuff. So all I can say is welcome to your club. You generated this in us. So maybe we'll wrap it up there. You have a project to work on, and perhaps some of our listeners will choose to take it upon themselves.
Well, thanks, Gordon, and thanks to all the listeners. To help support the channel, please click the Support Us on Patreon button on our website. And if you just receive the podcast as an email, do come to the website and choose to support us on Patreon. Huge thanks to all the folks who have already become Patreon supporters. If you choose to shop at B&H Photo Video, please use the link on the main page, as it pays a small commission here and costs you nothing at all. Please submit a comment or send in a question as I read and respond to all. On behalf of the channel, we wish you peace and good health. I'm Russ.
And I am Gordon.
And we will speak to you again soon.